bitch ass motherfucking podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Sangre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Champs motherfucking podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What up, Drink Champs Army? This week we want to take a look back at some of this past season's highlights. Before we get into it, I want to send out gratitude for all the love and support we get from all of you. We especially want to thank you for holding us down during our recent difficult time due to the loss of our little bro, DC Twin. This one is dedicated to him. Haz, let's get into it, homie.
So, I need to ask this question, because as a fan, this is a hip-hop fan. You know, Wu-Tang came and they destroyed shit. But it was a skit on Ghostface album.
Raekwon album.
Yeah. God damn it, DJ. DJ Bushrock. Big up DJ Bushrock.
There's
a skit where they said, nigga, bitch, nah, shit.
Yeah.
How did Nas feel? They said, nigga, bitch, nah, shit.
It was, that was the talk. So, that was the talk. I couldn't believe he said it. So,
it's over the album cover, right?
The album cover, Biggie, because Biggie, because you, go ahead.
I had a picture of Young Me on the cover, and then Notorious B.I.G., rest in peace, had a picture of a baby that was going to be him.
Right.
It's supposed to be him. So, of course, people start comparing, because they was comparing us anyway.
Right.
So then the album cover came, and it was like, oh. So Ghost said it. I said, it's straight blood sport out here. It's war.
Oh, when Ghost said it, he said.
Absolutely. Okay. When Ghost said that shit on a raised tape, oh, that was crazy. That was crazy, man, because it was something after that. I think Puff, Big called me.
We've never heard this story, Nas.
Yeah, Big called me, and he's like, yo, you fucking with them Wu niggas? You knew they said that shit? And he's like, yo, that's how you feel away, bro, because me and him was tight.
Right.
So we, you know, I was like, yo, I mean, that's Ghost.
Right.
Ghost face is Ghost face. It's no love lost. I didn't know he was going to say this shit. And he was just, he was a little disappointed because he wasn't trying to bite off my shit. Just in general, because he wasn't coming at it like that. Because if you listen to his album, he rapped from, he tell a whole story and shit. Right. So I didn't look at it like that. It was just competition at that time. So at that time, I was like, I was riding with that a little bit because it was competition. So it was just one for me.
It didn't involve into anything.
Nah.
Other than that.
Nah.
Okay, but Busta Rhymes had told me a story because Busta called me or I called Busta, I forget. Busta said, yo, tell Nas about the one time it was you, him, and Method Man in the studio, and Big was supposed to come up.
Yeah.
And Big didn't want to walk up flights of stairs, the elevator.
Yeah. The elevator was broke, and Big had a car accident, so he had a cane.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, dude, he said, I love y'all niggas, but I ain't walking up the fucking stairs with this bro. His shit was broke. Something was broke. He had a car accident.
Yeah,
that was a crazy session. That was going to be some shit.
Right.
So I didn't lay no verse, but the next day, Big came. And he did his shit.
Do you know that's the only verse that Big went at Pac?
Yes.
The only.
The double album, he had some verses for him, but you're right. That was the one when he went right at him. Right at him.
Yeah, you know? Busta played me that verse. I was going to bring it here, but I said, I don't think I should. I was like, I don't think I should. So okay. There comes a time after Illmatic, right, where it was written.
I remember, you know, I did 51st tour. People don't know that. So I've been 51st guy in the game. He'll tell you, I paid for his tour. Yeah, that's when that first record that was hot that he put.
Wow.
So I ran
in the club?
I ran him through the South, through everywhere. Like,
wow.
Like, yeah, and I knew he was going to be a star.
Nah, that's what's
And was your first tour with Pac?
Yeah, so people don't realize the story with Pac. So I had the store. They'll come in my store and see me. They know I was about having money. So they invited me first just to come hang out. I'll go on the road. And then by the time they, you know, you don't, back then you don't get the money till you do the show or finish the show or whatever. Mm. So we always go shop and they know I had bread, so I'll pay for everything. Then after the thing, they'll probably give
you
me like
a, everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So they were like, man, we gotta get Peter come out on the road with, you know what I'm saying?
They wanna keep the energy going. Yeah. The energy good.
Yeah, so, we, so that's how I really started it. Right. And it was like, I didn't really know I could rap, but I know I've been through so much and I really live this. I'm on the streets and this is what I do. So I'm like, I'm like, man, I really live this. Right. So in the stuff I was saying, you know, you, it's solid, it's for real. So I'm like, I be out there on the bus saying some of the stuff, even in my store. So people come in the store and be like, what album that's on? Mm-hmm. I was like, I was just saying it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's how I really know that I could do it. And so I started making little stuff and putting it out. But then, you know, I went from opening up for Pac, because they, you know, they, after a while, they was like, P, you got a song now, you can open up.
What was it, the Ice Cream Man?
Yeah, right before I was doing the Ice Cream Man, the Body
the
Body
Ice
stuff.
Cream
yeah.
Man.
Nobody, people thought it was like, you got, man, I'm in the West Coast with that.
Right.
I got gold teeth dreads.
You're confusing the shit out of
it. It don't work. It don't work, dog. Now, the whole bay, that's how they look, man.
Change everything.
So I remember being out there, man, and I'm on the road. So they bring me out before the lights, the while the lights on. So the white guy always introduced me because I told him I'm from New Orleans. He said, Mr. P, the country singer. I said, dog, hold up, man.
You the first little Nas X?
Yeah. But it ain't go down like that. I pulled him to the side. I said, look, bro.
Right.
I'm really from the street, dog. I'm not no country singer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he ended up, he fixed it. But man, I had one fan. I had one dude in the audience just singing my music. And they were, everybody was waiting, man, when Pac at?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So
I
was like, man, I'm going to turn that one fan into millions.
Right.
Mm. And that's what I ended up doing, man. I went out through the audience, like 20,000 people, and shook this man's hand and gave him a t-shirt. So people don't know my whole marketing scheme was, I had no
limit. I appreciate you if you appreciate me.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's it. Mm. So I ended up, I got, every city I hit, I put out the No Limit t-shirts.
Right.
I don't care if you're homeless or whatever. Every drug dealer, hustler I see with a fixed up car, I give them a free CD. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that was my street team. That was my marketing. Mm. And so you got to realize you got to start small, man. I started small and I appreciate them for letting me open up for them.
How many shows you think you did with them?
I did a lot. Like, I ain't counting. I mean, they wanted me to come.
Right.
I don't care if I was doing shows or not. I was just on the bus.
You was that guy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So was there any flack? I know we spoke on that earlier, like, after you signed Snoop. Like, after you signed Snoop, like when you came to Cali, was they, like, trying to, like...
Yeah, I got a phone call from Suge one time.
He's out of prison at this point?
Yeah, he was out of prison.
And now y'all lit. Because now you got... Lit. See, I think people thought that Snoop was going to come over and that was it. But you had a single with Dre on your label.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Dre, man.
Yeah.
Did that?
Well, that was crazy.
Okay.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Oh.
So
you got a call from Suge. Did anything like transpire from that? What?
Oh, he said Cal ain't big enough for me, him, and Puffy.
Oh, wow.
Well, I say, when you moving? Because I just bought a house.
God damn it. So, you said you had that phone call.
Yeah.
Was there any worries on your behalf? Because, you know.
Man, I grew up in the Galileo Project.
Right.
Ain't nobody gonna solve press me, man.
Right.
I don't care who you is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna work with you. You're another black man.
Right.
To be honest with you. So when you go back and look at Hot Boys, mm-hmm. I got a little cousin this big.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care about size or none of that. Mm-hmm. Like, R.I.P. to him, man.
Mm-hmm.
That name was for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I probably saved half of the people in hip hop that you know.
Mm.
That I'm like, nah, man, let these dudes make it. And that's the thing that I don't understand about hip hop right now. Mm. Like, if it's beef, it's beef for real.
Mm.
You know, like, and if it's not.
Then it's not.
It's not. Like,
shouldn't be.
You know what I'm saying? I understand, you know, somebody might be offended that I'm moving into Hollywood, man.
Right.
I'm not moving into your hood.
Right, exactly.
So you shouldn't have no problem with me.
Exactly.
Those white people got business on every corner.
Right.
Why we can't have it?
Real
we
shit.
Killing each other up for nothing. Anything I got, I'm gonna. Y'all see, that's the shoes of Mignotti.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying?
And you got a fancy word to go with them.
Mignotti's.
Oh, Mignotti. Come on. Why we gonna fuck with Balenciaga? We got Mignotti's. Come on.
That's the Bugatti of shoes.
Come on, man. Come on.
But that's what I'm saying. We don't own nothing. So I didn't take that note to offense when Suge did that.
Right.
I just like, maybe he don't really know me.
Right.
Though I figure like if you take your time and we sit down and have a conversation, you know.
Right.
You know who I am.
Right.
Like I don't disrespect people. I say if you want to get respect, you got to give it.
Right.
You know, it just made me feel a little different about it. Like, man, you know, if you want to do that, you do that in person.
Right.
You know?
And then did you ever connect with him after he came home? Like face to face or no?
I don't think I ever seen him after that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Some of my people did.
Okay.
But, you know, I told him we good.
Right.
It ended there.
It ended there, because I already knew that's how it go. You know what I'm saying? Maybe somebody don't know me. I'm a man of God.
Right.
But I'm a hold my own. Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I know the devil is real. Mm-hmm. That's what people got to realize.
Right.
You know, even you believe
in
God.
If God is real.
If God is real, you got to know the devil is real. Right. Right. So I'm like, it just made me feel a different kind of way that I wouldn't have did that. I would have opened up. Man, come to Cali. It's enough Rap-A-Lot, Jay, all y'all. Come to Cali, man, because this Hollywood. This is where the money at.
Yeah, right. Hollywood, straight up.
You know, like, I just think, if you look at this, what we talking about shoes. These companies on every corner in the same block.
Yep, Nike, Adidas, New Balance.
All going to the mall.
Yeah, and they ain't beefing.
They not beefing. Right. We don't need to be doing that. That's what I want. That's why I never said nothing to them. I wanted to tell that to them personally when I see them.
Right.
You know?
It reminds me of, like, because... Like I said, we had a Birdman sitting in the same chair. Yeah. And it was the Calio against the Magnolia or something like that. Magnolia Project.
To where I thought I was like the only one. It was like me and like all my partners and Nipsey and Dime Kennedy and fuck everybody else. All them niggas was my partners too. So it was just me and my partners as far as everything that just came in. Because as I was watching the top 10 covers change. Every year. From the cover I did, it was like...
You did the freshman cover, right?
Yeah. In '09, it was me and fucking... me, Wale, Kid Cudi, Asher Roth, Charles Hamilton.
He's not around no more.
Yeah, that...
He's around.
He's around?
He's back, I think.
That was the first...
I don't think he's around.
I think he's back around. I've been seeing him
on Twitter. That fucking broad, like...
The broad that snuffed him,
that's
right?
The first time that shit happened, like... Yeah. On like in like viral
but
shit.
What he
like
said? He told the bitch, "I fucked you, right?"
Yeah, and she punched him out of rap. Like, and I was like, "That's fucked up," because me and my nigga was on the cover. Nah, look, he know I ain't coming from.
Yeah.
I fucking said, I was like, "Man, this nigga was on the cover." This fucking girl punched him from rapping.
She punched her
like you do. Like everybody was just like, "Oh, I don't fucking hear it." Like nobody heard it no more. Nobody posted. If he dropped something, everybody was just like scared to touch it. You know what I'm saying?
Wasn't he Sonic the Hedgehog at one point?
Mm-hmm.
That was him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then
his shit was gone. It was about to go, man.
Shit, he could spit.
Yeah.
I believe he can. But I believe also agree with him. He got punched out of hip hop.
Yeah, but if you do that, you gotta do it. Like, all right, so what she did?
No, but
you gotta understand. You know she.
He was battle rapping with the girl
for sure. I saw it.
And he said, "Don't act like you ain't give me that pussy."
And she just rocked him, mid rapping that boy. But look, he maintained his composure. Look what he said. She punched that boy. Said, "Oh, you punched me though." I fucked with that. I was like, damn, all right, that's cool. It was there. Oh, you punched me.
Charles Hamilton, who else?
He fucking kept going. Who else was on the cover?
Yeah.
Fucking,
he said Wale.
Blue
is very underground. He's still doing this thing, too. If you look, check out Blue in Exile. Yeah, Blue is dope as fuck. Blue is fucking
from LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on my album, man.
Mickey Fax.
Oh.
We
searching for him too.
Yeah. That's my partner. Big him up. I talked to him this year.
Big him up.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, man. Mickey Facts, man. Mickey Facts. You know, it's just a
He can rap.
He can rap. He had a commercial. Like, that was one of the first dudes who, like, he caught the lick, like, after the cover. He did a commercial for, I think it was, like, for Hyundai. And I think that's when everybody was just like, that's what. Ace Hood.
He's on that cover?
Ace Hood's on there.
Big up Ace Hood. Where you at, Ace Hood?
It was 10.
That's
right.
Ace Hood put him in the gym way too much. He got to stop.
The next year was Wiz, Nip, Crit, and like Donnie Goins, and a few, you know what I'm saying? But then they started sprinkling in like I saw, you would see the music change. Like, it stopped being like so many people who was like straight to the pen, and some people who was just making music, like just music. And that became like, you know, what's this cover? I didn't see this one.
The new cover?
Yeah.
The new cover got, I think, Blueface on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay.
Megan Thee Stallion hard. I like her. Yeah, I like Cash Doll. I like
Baby. Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something. The Baby went on the Breakfast Club, and the Baby said that he had his number one album, and then his father died.
I know.
And he said, he God bless him. And he said that, you know, he never thought that he could go through that. I got something to tell you, Baby. The Baby. I did that in 1998. My pops died on July 3rd in 98. Now, nigga, need mad herb. I went number one right before that. My father used to think I never was rapping. He thought I was lying to my mother. So when he saw Super Thug, he finally came up to me. He was like, Papito, I'm sorry. The nigga was like, yo, I'm sorry, but you was a bad kid. like, I didn't believe you when you said you rapping. I'm looking at you the whole time like, go ahead. Okay, DK, you're rapping. Okay. You know? But it was horrible, man.
What is your phone?
Oh, my phone. Okay, thank you. But, Jesus, what the fuck I was talking about?
Baby.
Oh, the Baby. So when the Baby said that, I was actually listening to it. I wasn't even actually hearing it. And when he said that, it should just stop. I had to stop. I was walking somewhere or jogging. I don't even remember. But I had stopped. And when he said that, I was just like, oh, shit. And, you know, a lot of times you think as OGs, because, see, a lot of times I don't show love or I don't reciprocate love because, you know, sometimes they'll look at you and be like, the old nigga. And I'm cool in my own section, and so I stay. But when I see things like that where I relate to you directly,
yeah,
like, you know, I want to reach out. Like, I want to go to his next show and be like, yo, homie,
as you should.
The shit that you went through, you was not the first, bro.
Yeah,
and I'm not claiming I'm the first, but I'm saying I went through that.
That's to help a motherfucker carry.
And then he had my whole story. He was like, my father was my hero, and that was my hero. My father was my hero, and I lost him in the best year of my life, the very best year of my life. And when I heard him have the same exact story,
exactly what the fuck he was saying.
I was just like, I was touched. I was like, you know, and like Irv, because the Irv episode is going to come out, and it's going to seem like we don't fuck with the young dudes. But that's the reason why, Irv, is like, I need something to identify with them with. So now a person like him, I identify with him. I know how hard it is to have a number one single, a number one album, and have the number one person gone from your life. I can identify with that. You understand?
This batch of young niggas, because it's every year now.
Yes.
It's not like it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, my shit lasted for like 4 years as new young, you know what I'm saying? Now it's like 15 minutes.
Right.
But this batch
is
more vocal about the real life and what's actually going on, as opposed to just, I ate 9 pills.
Right.
Got the bitch on the roof. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas is definitely like kind of letting me know what's going on.
Do you think that's what's oversaturated right now? Is because, like, I never really heard you rap about other things other than weed.
Right.
But I remember one of my friends said to me, he said, man, them motherfuckers make me feel like I gotta buy a paddock. Right? Right? So when you listen to the music sometimes, it make you feel like you're supposed to be high,
for
too.
Sure.
Like, you're supposed to be on opiates, too.
Sure,
you're supposed to be on Xanax, too.
Yeah.
And like, and then
that's what it does. That's what happened. Wow. I mean, that's probably what happened to me. I grew up to fucking Snoop and Drake.
Right.
But I also was like super, when I was younger, like paying attention to what school was saying. And I was like, not fucking with shit. I was like, this sounds good. I'm not fucking with that though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like right. that, I was existing in both worlds.
Like you never did another drug?
Mushrooms.
Okay.
Salvia once. Or five times.
Right.
Wait, but the fifth time.
Salvia is the fake weed?
Shut it down. It's not fake weed. No, it's not weed at all. It's fucking like fucking peyote. Yeah, what? You go to the smoke shop and you ask for salvia?
I'm married. I love going home to my kids.
Family.
I love going home to my family. It would be irresponsible for me, and because it's not me that's gonna have the war. Yeah. I'm not gonna be in the hood. I'm not gonna go to your hood. It's gonna be my niggas. And what the fuck? When my whole plan is to take them out of the hood, I don't need that. So I don't want beef with nobody. It's not a particular person. It's not. And I'm not pussy. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be the man that my wife loves me to come home to. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be that dude. Like, to me, as I'm 42 years old, like, I really don't have nothing to prove to nobody.
Clap for the family, man.
God damn it.
Like, how do you deal with disrespect but feeling like that the way you feel?
I can't deal with it. That's the thing is, I still get caught. Because
if you say, dealt with it recently.
If you say something to me, I'm going to say something. But that's not the thing. The thing is, like, because I don't think I'm whole, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, come on, let's do, I got one more left in me. I don't think I'm whole, right? But here's the crazy shit about whole.
You said
is
three.
Whole watches everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, everything I ever do, the nigga will send me a message or something and be like,
yeah.
I saw when you said it. I'm like, damn, this nigga's a billionaire. If he's watching my shit, that means that hopefully, every people out there is watching the same exact shit. Like Drake called the other day, we said that. Like Drake called, he called Elliot because me and Elliot sat here and we went back and forth. And that's dope to me because when the hip hop generation is listening, because we said, yo, listen, and I want to tell you to your face, thank you, Fab, because we know that you have an upcoming project coming out, and this might come out after the project came out. But the thing is, I hit you. I said, yo, Fab, I heard you in Miami. I said, let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. That's a man of his word. I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, really respect. And you know what? Every time I ask you to be on a podcast, you always say, as long as I got something to promote, Nori. And to me, that's all I want you to do is like, when you have something to promote, come fuck with us because at the end of the day.
But it ain't even just the promote side because it's not, we ain't promoting that here.
Right.
We kicking it because I need to be seen in this time.
Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Sometimes, you know, in our generation, like you're important, Fab. Like, let me just say that to you. You're important. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's the reason why you can get booked, you know, out of 365 days a year. I sincerely believe you get booked 350 of them. You know what I'm saying? Let's make some noise for that, goddammit. You know what I'm saying? And the other 15 days is because you want to take off. You know what I'm saying? And that's dope. But the thing is, it's important. It's important. What'd you say? I don't know what y'all having some Brooklyn shit going on. Let's hold on. Hold on. Some Brooklyn shit going on.
I take what is dates here.
But, so it's important for you to sit down with your own culture. You know what I'm saying?
You got a date for Halloween. I ain't take it because my family, we do like a Halloween thing.
I'm not
going to
lie,
thing.
Son.
Like,
you know really dress up on Halloween. Yeah. I thought you was playing.
That's
like
different.
The first year.
That's different, yeah.
I seen you on Instagram.
The first year was the shakiest year for me.
Okay, because you was Dracula, the first year.
Michael Jackson?
Nah, I'm trying to think if it was the Addams Family or the like Batman villains. We did like the Batman villains. I'm not sure. What was the first one? Batman villains.
I ain't gonna lie. You make me feel like I gotta grow up.
Yeah.
I'm never dressed up for Halloween. I gotta grow up fast.
That was,
you can look
that
at
was
me and
different
tell me
for me. Yeah, cause I guess you crossed that. That bridge.
Like it's not for you anymore.
My wife and my kids is at Michael Vick party right now.
It's not for you, bro. It's for your kids.
It's a costume party at Michael Vick party right now. And no, I use y'all as an excuse. I said that.
After this, you gotta grow up.
No, I'm not going. I'm going to Cheeseburger Baby, and I'm going to see y'all. Story. We have that story tonight.
Cameo,
goddamn it. Yo, okay, so Fendi. So it's not you booking all these shows? I need to know.
Stay low, keep firing, bro.
And what's the name of your podcast?
Don't let him turn you into 6ix9ine.
Give him another shot. He got to catch up. This is him by himself. You can do a small shot. But what's the name of your podcast?
That's a Fendi.
We did establish that.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I knew that already. Let's go.
Is out, the podcast is out already?
Nah. So who's your distribution?
Green Champs. I actually talked to Puff about it.
Puff ain't got no podcast. He gonna call me. I'm just telling
you. I actually talked to him about it, but you know.
Are you talking about a television show?
Yeah, well, just the television show itself, but we talked about.
You can't control the whole podcast.
Yeah, it's too much of that.
It's too much of that. Don't you gotta come over here.
Yeah.
You gotta come over here. And you got Nicki Minaj already. Damn.
First interview.
First interview is Nicki Minaj. Who's your second interview? What's your man?
Never tell Pepsi where you get your coke from.
Who's your second interview? Duquan? You remember Duquan?
Yeah, Duquan.
Yeah. You remember Duquan? Y'all niggas was the corruptest niggas I ever met.
Remember the story I just told you? Some of the guys that was telling you gonna put me on? Uh-huh. Duquan was one of them.
Did he get you a license?
Huh?
He got me a license.
No, he didn't get a driver's license?
He got me a permit. Uh-huh. Excuse me. Yeah. He helped me get a permit.
Shout out to Duquan.
That's my nigga. And he still getting money. Let me tell you something. Those was the two grimiest niggas in New York City at one point. They had everything. Like, you can go to them and say, yo, listen. Fendi, Duquan, I need Cartier frame. Wood. Remember, the wood shit was exclusive back then in the 90s. I need a wood. What the shit? Yeah, and them niggas be like, I'm gonna call Sal. How the fuck you knew the nigga name who had it already? And I just wouldn't question these Brooklyn niggas. Y'all niggas was different. And I'm gonna tell you one time. This is the one time I think I killed Hov on stage.
Yeah, High Night Jamaica.
Damn. The white night I think I killed, and Hov gonna watch this, he might call me and be offended.
Yeah.
So let's just.
Let's be clear.
Do you remember that night, Fendi?
Yeah, do I remember that? Like, we was legendary.
It was Jermaine Dupri.
So what was your take? Think he got Hov that night?
I was with him. I was a part of killing Hov.
I was with him. I said, did you?
Absolutely.
This is the only night. I don't got a lot of these nights. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. I got one, that's it. Mm-hmm. But Hot Night Jamaica, it was his birthday. So he came and he ordered like Cristal. Them niggas was like, Bumba Clyde, we only have red stripes. We only have red stripes. I was like, I got him. And I went on, and Fendi was my hype man. You remember that?
Absolutely. He's sweating Tiger Bone right now.
But you gotta admit this, because I know your Brooklyn side is not letting you admit this.
Oh, nah, absolutely.
I think that night Jermaine Dupri.
No.
When Superthug came on.
Oh, yeah, we was out of here.
Okay.
We bust Cameron and Jim Jones ass a couple times, too. Let's be clear,
because I was on the road with him.
Yeah.
God damn
let's
it.
Not leave that
God
out.
Damn it. God yeah, damn it. Let's not leave that out.
We was the force to be reckoned with. I didn't even lie.
Someone's at my house? Hold on.
Come on, man. Hello? Your ring turned on?
Hello?
Done the show.
Oh, food delivery. All right, let him up. That's probably my son. He's a greedy nigga. All right, cool. All right. Pick. Nah, you know, nigga put him up in the front of the crib. Yo, but Fab, let me just tell you something, man. I really appreciate you being a man of your word. Every time I seen you, you were like, yo, Nori, I got you. Bouncing around a little bit over here. Now, there was this Biggie phone call.
There was?
All right.
Well, you went deep research for this.
No. Was it Hit 'Em Up? Hit 'Em Up comes out.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dog Pound comes to New York, right? And there's this rumor that Biggie Smalls called the radio station.
No, that's not a rumor. That's actually true.
It's just no one has proof of this.
Oh, it's on the internet somewhere for sure. It has to be.
And this was on your show, correct?
It was actually, I was at that time I used to run Flex's board, so I would be in the studio with Flex, but it really was Flex's show.
Okay. And because here's a deal. Like when they put it in a Tupac movie, like they don't play the actual footage. They play the, they play gravy talking of talking over it, right?
Yeah, like, of course not. They didn't really use any actual footage, I don't think, for that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
But that phone call,
they just
actually
used that weird Snoop voiceover, which yeah, was crazy, so
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird.
So strange.
But so this phone call actually yeah. happened.
Yeah, it totally happened.
So Big, this is the first, because you know the reason why this phone call is important is because this is actually the first time we get to see Big stand up for something. Like, for most of the part,
the have you ever had Snoop on?
I've had Snoop on, yes.
So
I've had Snoop.
Snoop remembers all of this, like, word for word.
Well,
Snoop
and at I the have time, had, we,
Snoop
we,
and I have had many conversations about this, because I always thought
Snoop. We didn't dissect it like that.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I always thought Snoop, you know, Snoop and I had a little weird thing because.
Because right, that's when they were doing New York, the video.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So Snoop remembers all of that very clearly. He remembers right. the big call. He remembers all people ran down here.
But describe that to us for people who don't know, because so Big just calls Funk Flex.
Yeah, he was on the, but people have to realize, it wasn't like he called him to tell him about the, you know, Big would often call into the radio, you know, so that night it was like, yo, they shooting this video in Brooklyn, like, Brooklyn stand up, it was something to that
Red
effect.
Hook.
It was like, but that was it, it was like a Brooklyn stand up.
It was a sign, it was.
That's what Snoop says. Snoop says, that's very clear, there's nothing unclear about that direction.
No, I'm with Snoop.
It is, yeah, it is kind of.
And then it got shot up.
But that was the first, because you know, that's why it's important.
But like, then again, you know, it was a weird time. When you think about how crazy that is, that we were also invested in something that was so dumb.
And kind of media created.
Totally. I had a record called LA.
Kind of, but also artists.
No, yeah,
creative.
Artists, but the media, if anything, inflamed it more.
The vibe covers didn't.
That's
hurt.
What I mean.
Yeah, of course. That was the media. That was pretty much it. And like MTV News, maybe. Right. But it was just a weird.
But
time.
That was you know why that was the first time. Now, if you were privileged to actually meet Big, I remember coming up to Big in the tunnel, saying "Fuck them, let's ride on them," and Big looking at me like, "Young man,
chill out,
chill."
Big really tried, by the way. He really tried
you
to, like,
tell.
Not.
Yeah, I kid you not. I wish I could tell everyone individually, like, how far left they were, like, how far to this area Pac was, and how far this area Big was. Like, Big really was like, I never did what they accused me of. Like, he literally told me that. Yeah. And that shit, but I never met Tupac, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I met Big, but I never met Tupac. Dope. And, literally, and this crazy shit is we did a record called LALA.
Oh, yes.
Where we actually,
I remember that.
We stood up for East Coast because, oh, so sorry. I forget.
Stop banging on the table.
I forgot. I think I'm in the lunchroom. So, where we actually did, with Mobb Deep, and we actually did it. And I remember bringing it to Big, and I remember him saying, because it was for a Stretch Armstrong mixtape. And Stretch Armstrong was hosting a Bad Boy mixtape. Right. Remember Bad Boy had the mixtape?
Yeah, so that mixtape series was fire.
So, yeah, and I remember Big telling me to my face, I'm not going to use that. Mm. And that's the reason why LALA came out the way it came out, is because Big told me to my face, I'm not going to use that. And I was like, I was so hurt, because here I am defending him.
Yeah, he didn't want no parts of it. He was living his life.
He was trying to be the bigger man.
He was. And I think he just was trying to stay focused. And that's probably, Puff was probably in his ear, like, don't get distracted. I would imagine. I don't know that for a fact. But Big tried. And also Snoop tried.
I think that's what killed Ja Rule, is because he tried to, like, go the Biggie route. And 50 was just different. Do you think so?
You think 50 was different than Pac? It seemed like Pac was just relentless.
No, I felt like...
Very different.
Very different.
Well,
very.
Both relentless.
Yeah, both relentless and both hard.
I just think one had social media when the other one didn't.
Oh, imagine if Tupac had social media.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's what I'm saying. That's the only difference.
Oh, my God. Shit.
Imagine Big Pun on fucking Facebook. Big Pun on Instagram. Holy moly. Holy shit. Oh, man. I had a moment just now. Sorry.
I see.
I'm literally thinking about... I miss Pun.
Of course, man.
What's some of your memories of Pun?
Oh, Pun. You know, Pun got me super high on the radio one time.
On the radio? No. I have no idea.
So I had never had any, like, weed cookies before.
Okay.
And he came to the show and he had a bag of weed cookies. And he was like, yo, have one. And I was like, I had smoked, so I thought, okay, I could handle a weed cookie.
Right.
And what I didn't know is it takes time to kick in.
Right.
So I ate one. I was like, I feel nothing. I'm fine.
Tell me you ate more.
Oh, I ate like half a bag.
Oh.
And then I did this with the crumbs.
And it's a different kind of high. It's like psychedelic and shit.
And that little fucker, he fucking sat there and watched me do it. And, you know, because Pun was an asshole.
Yes, he was.
Like, he was, I mean, in the best way possible. You know, yes, he was like a jokester.
Yes, yes, the people
like,
know
to
that.
Him, it was probably hysterical. Like, oh, she has no idea. Right. And so I had way too many cookies. And so we finished the interview and I was fine. I was like, I get you all the cookies in the world. My tolerance is crazy. Right. Nothing happened to me. And then all of a sudden I was like, and I'm still on the, I had to finish the rest of my show. And I thought, I said to Patty Duke, who was my producer, I was like, I think I have to go to the hospital.
Big up to Speedy and Patty Duke. Yeah.
Was it Patty or Monte? It was, I don't even remember.
And big up to Monte.
Yeah, I think it was both of them. And I wanted them to take me to the emergency room. I was like, I think I'm dying. I think I'm going to die. My heart, I think I'm going to die. Like, I just kept saying, I think I'm going to die, take me to the emergency. Anyway, they wind up taking me home. Somebody drove me home and I slept it off. But it was terrible. Like, I haven't, by the way, it's never again. I won't have an edible. I won't have a gummy. I won't do none of that shit.
Because
Pun ruined it for me forever.
So, have you ever?
Uh-oh.
Have you ever, like?
Have you ever is never.
Have you ever regretted an interview? Like, sour moment. But you were on Victory Lap with Nipsey Hussle.
Yep. Man.
Wow. Yeah.
That shit. It hit home for me.
Right.
For all of us.
For everybody.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
First off, did you know Nipsey prior to recording with him? Or okay.
You know,
You was on the album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just said Victory Lap.
Yeah.
And you know, the only one of my kind on that record. You know what I'm saying? Right. He came far.
Absolutely.
You know, he traveled to come get me.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Wow. So it meant a lot, really significant in that way.
Wow.
You know, and of course, you know, the untimely passing, it's just, you know, it just iconicizes this particular project so much more.
Mm.
It's, you know, it'll live forever now. And so like because of the circumstance surrounding it,
right.
You know, and I get a chance to, you know, be, you know, it's bittersweet, you know, so like, but I get a chance to be a part of that legacy. It's gonna live forever, you know what I mean? Like, and so will I, you know, in association, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's fucked up, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because I was just like, God damn. I thought about that, and I thought about just, you know, who else I do with Offset record too. You know what I'm saying? It was like I got a chance to be a part of some really relevant shit right now. So like it was just like an honor, man. Like, you know, to rock with the homie in that way.
Now Gunplay, you too, because we've all heard rumors of you know, Nipsey coming very, very, very close to signing to MMG.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, you know, you being one of Ross's right hands man, so I'm sure you had a lot of encounters with him. So how did you take that?
Like, first, I want to start with, like, me and the big homie was just rapping about, like, do this generation appreciate his art? And there you go. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Nipsey, like, he's like the cloth. Or the street, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, for real, for real. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, he reached out to the big homie. And the record that he did with Ross, the first one.
Tears of Joy?
Tears of Joy, already. Mm-hmm. It was like, not, and then the second one, Smile. I can't play it with anybody else in the car. Cause I don't want them to think I'm a bitch when I get the, you know what I'm saying? Look,
I got records like
you
that.
Know what I'm saying? It's like that.
Yeah,
it's like that.
Like I gotta be
real.
Exactly.
Kids,
it's
like that.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
So
it's one of those.
I gotta be like,
you know what I'm saying? So I'm just humbled to even be in this situation right here. Mm. And you know what I'm saying? First off, and second of all, I didn't really interact with, I didn't see him.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I really be real turf, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I didn't really get to bump into him on the industry sets like that. But I already know, just by watching his interviews, listening to his music, I already knew he was grounded. He was what we need to follow. He was a leader.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what, you know, and I took stuff out of his music when I did listen to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that was key. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's crazy. Boss was going to sign. I was like, damn.
We're going to all say God bless and rest in peace. But moving on to a positive, positive note, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We want, like, you know, Drink Champs is about praising the artists while they're alive.
No doubt.
And again, I want to reiterate, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, Gunplay pulled up, because I know he's going to help us with this.
Right.
Is we want you to know that you're appreciated now.
Word, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Big
like
time,
everything that you did, you know what
and
I'm saying?
And then you are a legend. You are a living legend.
You're a living legend. You're humble, but we'll brag for you. No problem. No problem. No problem.
Look,
but
never mind the South. You are a living legend for us and all of hip hop. No, right. But yo, for I the South, selling on top weed, of that, bro. Even more.
I started selling weed when nigga the Y'all album, bro. I used to wake up, bro, on kids. Yo, on kids. That's why it means so much to me when I listen to y'all shit and listen. Like, to for intro, to outro, to everything, y'all dropped jewels before the jewels was supposed to even be picked up.
Talk that shit, Gunplay.
Niggas ain't even know they was supposed to pick up jewels, and it was already was like, yo, like the everything from the first single, from, you know what I'm saying, peeping in my window, and everything's happening now.
Let me just ask, because, the Illuminati and conspiracy theories, they always say that who's that peeking in my window was about some other shit that we didn't know about.
No, they were ahead of their time. You guys are ahead of your time.
Listen,
can we explain that? What was that record about? Because
hey, I don't know.
Let me tell you the whole story, because it's dope. It's another. All right, so look. Now, this is one of my all-time favorites.
Okay.
MCs of all time. Who just said recently in his post that you were his favorite MC. This is Busta Rhymes.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, big up Busta.
Right? Love Bust. One of my all-time favorites, right? Mm. But anyway, the story goes, we're in Atlanta. It's now Stankonia, but it was Boss Town then. Outkast bought Bobby Brown's studio. It was Bobby Brown's first. It was called
Boston. Was that cocaine all over?
I'm sure it was.
Yeah! It was snowing.
In my mind. I'm sorry.
Like a jump, like, God damn it.
Bobby's my nigga.
Bobby Boucher over there.
They
buy the studio.
You know what? I'm fucking the story.
They buy the studio.
That's a lie. I'm taking it back. No, we was at DARP. Was at DARP, Dallas Austin Studio.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Cool.
Not so much cocaine there.
All right, yeah. No,
no, but there's a lot of bandanas around the neck.
All this cocaine in OC are lying yet. Come on, man. Bring that to work, man.
I told you a long time ago.
So check it out. Busta Rhymes gave us, Busta Rhymes came in our session. He said, brothers, and he said, look, for me, what y'all work, blah, 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 blah. Whatever he said, he was like, yeah, brothers is doing some good things. I want to pass off a bit of information to y'all. There was this book called Behold the Pale Horse.
Busta Rhymes gave us this book.
Busta Rhymes gave it to the dungeon. So Big Rude, who was our resident, you know what I'm saying, you know.
Guru.
Yeah, you know, he's guru. Exactly. He read the book first. This book is what? It's 300 pages or better.
Yeah.
So we had to take his time. He read the book. You know, we all was living at the dungeon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy at the time. So basically, long story short, that book got around. Everybody read it.
Wow.
Everybody read Behold the Pale Horse.
That makes a lot of good hip-hop sense.
Y'all on a whole nother.
Yeah.
And then y'all niggas in the studio high.
And just snap with it.
And niggas seen somebody peeking through the window.
Well,
that's it, bro.
That was the analogy, though.
She was coming to work early, too. There was a lot of closed doors in Def Jam. You don't open that door, nigga. You gonna see something that, you know what I'm saying, you don't want a motherfucking see. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we used to call this a few Def Jam babies and shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I always say the raw shit. I hope we don't
get in
trouble.
It's okay. You ain't
getting But, you know, it's not no Me Too. It wasn't no Me Too shit or whatever like that. It was
mutual shit.
You know, everyone wanted, they liked each other.
All right, you seem like you're getting nervous about this Me Too movement.
Shouldn't we be? No, but I'm not nervous like with it for me.
Because you're a man of power, right?
That's what I never. The Me Too shit is like when you listen to the Harvey Weinstein stories. Like, he's a borderline weirdo.
I ain't gonna fuck my whole beginning of my whole career. It, like in Penalty, it's to be a chick used to always harass me. I did not know I could have Me Too'd her. I did not know that. Like the for real, Me Too? Like, I used to walk around, she'd smack my ass. I'd be like, oh shit! I thought this is normal.
You
should have
pressed charges.
I should have pressed charges, bro. I'm thinking about suing Neil Levine right now. He's my friend.
Neil Levine touch ass?
No, because no, because she worked for Neil Levine. He was supposed to provide a safe environment for me. Yeah, for real, for real. I'm not playing, even though I'm playing about the Neil Levine.
Listen.
Yeah.
Put some young niggas on this, man.
Put some young niggas on.
Yeah, just try it, man.
Let's do one episode. You bring them.
You want me bring a young nigga in here? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you something. If you know a wine has to be aged for 30 years, and this wine is going to be exactly what it is, would you want to change that format to a 1 year?
No, you are.
Then we gotta relax, sir.
No, but listen to me.
We gotta relax.
No, listen. You've created with Drink Champs something that is pushing culture forward.
Yeah, I know, and we have to push.
Why are you gonna exclude?
It's not exclusion.
It's not excluded. But because we can come up with another show.
Let the little Nas X nigga come up here.
No, right now.
Let that nigga come up here.
You're acting. To ask him. Like, I don't.
No, but listen. But you're acting like we want to exclude it just for.
Y'all do.
Now listen.
No.
You don't think there's something there where they can listen to us?
Exactly.
Like unadulterated and just hear our stories.
I'm not saying for y'all to stop what y'all doing. What you guys created
is this shit. It takes 30 years to make this wine.
Listen, I'm giving y'all kudos. Yeah. I'm telling you, Drink Champs is the forum to come on.
I think it's another time.
Yo, make sure you get closer.
Another Tiger Bone, baby.
But am I right?
Yes, no, you're all right.
There's been no, like, but dare I say, like when Arsenio, he was our platform.
That was dope. Mm,
that damn herb, you giving us Arsenio.
Yeah, we getting Arsenio.
Our finger gotta get long. Remember that nigga had a long finger.
But this is a platform,
right?
Because Arsenio. Arsenio let niggas get on the couch.
Don't you dare give me a Haitian shot.
You understand? Like Arsenio let niggas get on the couch.
Stop, right.
So this is Arsenio minus the performance.
Yeah, right.
Which maybe you should.
But right now I'm doing.
Make this a stage. Let him perform.
Doing a spinoff of my Fool show, and I'm working on.
It's another show you got.
And but this is what the new
another boys. Network.
What I want to do is relax. Come on, everybody. I got to sneak attack this one, man. Come on, I got to sneak attack.
Let him slam dunk this one. Right now.
How is Nori doing this?
You know, you gotta have good relationships. But damn, you made me lose my train of thought.
But I think Smoke Champs could be that move as well.
Smoke Champs could be that too. But on my new show, what I want to do, is actually
put
a competition. Like, a lot of people compare French Montana to being a new Nori. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be like me against French. Like it's not me. Like I don't see it at all. But people say French, like, you know, is like a version of me, right? Whatever, right? So we would go. And it would be me against French. Not, I can't say what it is.
I got you.
You know what I mean? But that's what it would be. Like, so I'll mix the young generation. Because I fuck with them. I live in South Beach. I mean, I don't live in South Beach. I hang out in South Beach where they're not playing Nas in the club. They're not going to play Hov in that club. They're going to play
the
Big Chanel when you throw me the gold and drip your heart. And I'm digging in there, nigga.
I'm
there.
What I'm saying
is, that sounds like a lot of stuff.
You have a humongous platform.
Right.
Yo, embrace the whole culture.
And we do.
And listen, and here, let me say this. For all my young niggas, let me give you my evaluation. What the fuck was they going to say after our generation? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
What, like, you got Grandmaster Flash, the first generation.
Right.
And it's like when you heard Suck MCs, it was different.
Yeah.
Right? They took it up a notch.
Yep.
Right. Then from like that era, you heard.
But you could tell, cocaine in that era. But
I'm just going through the eras.
Then you went to NWA. Right.
Then you get to, wait a minute, after that, you went to NWA, and then the East Coast, you went to Rakim.
Yep.
Big Daddy Kane.
Public Enemy.
So they start saying more. They was taking it more. Right. Then from there, we went to Nas.
Yeah. Evolution of hip hop.
We went to Nas, Hov, Pac, Big, and we. All right, so after that,
What the fuck is left for a rapper to say?
Old Town Road, nigga.
No, but no, let's be honest.
I am. That's exactly so where we went with it.
No, so, wait a minute. That's extreme. That's aggressive. That's aggressive. But think, look at the new generation. Mm-hmm. Everything that we did, they just flipped it and did different.
They do it their way.
Nigga, we like long chains with the medallions hanging next to our nuts, nigga. Mm-hmm.
Look at me. They got me out here looking like Migos with my short chains right now. No, but they have doing. I'm falling victim.
That's still us, but it's an older us.
Yeah, it's an older, definitely. But,
right?
Yeah,
They're chokers.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
Right? We was baggy jeans. They went tight as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
They were rebellious. I feel what could they do?
That's true.
Hold on. As a hip hop connoisseur, was someone gonna say a better verse than "They never take me alive"? I'm getting high with my 4-5 cocked on these niggas. Time to die. Even as a youngster, you know what I'm saying? Like, I did BET. The guy Lamont Hill, he said Tupac was overrated.
Wow.
I spit the last verse of Pain. He was trying to say hello to me. I wasn't shaking. I was just spitting the verse. And he was like looking at me going crazy. And I'm like, nigga, that nigga ain't overrated. That nigga is the GOAT. Right. Like, he personifies everything in hip hop. And you said he's overrated.
I seen these young dudes not give Jay they props, not give Nas
That's fine,
props.
Though.
I see them like...
No, but this is what I want to say real quick before you keep going. Before, prior to internet... Hip hop was through a funnel that was filtered through hip hop, so to say, curated through hip hop.
Yeah,
and then it became a worldwide sensation.
80% of the music streamed is hip hop,
and then it changes the demographic. It changes who's curating it. It changes a lot of things.
It always changes,
and that's the difference.
You know what I learned about hip hop? The minute you think you know hip hop, you don't know shit. It shows you don't know shit. Hip hop is like the best thing ever happened.
We agree.
In America.
Of course.
And hip hop is like light. You really don't understand it, or I'm bugging.
And it's the biggest cultural export.
But nigga, you gotta embrace everybody.
I couldn't have predicted Old Town Road.
Listen, hip hop is at its biggest form, is at its biggest hype on their watch.
On whose watch?
These young niggas.
But.
Hip hop right now is the number one genre.
But curated by who?
Listen,
I love this talk, by the way.
You can't say on their watch if it's curated by someone that's not from the culture.
No, I'm not saying that Melly Mel gets credit. The evolution, we all get credit to the point where it's at now. But I'm not going to say these young niggas ain't dope because.
No, that doesn't say that. No one's saying that.
Have them on the show.
That don't got nothing to do with it.
What the hell?
Show.
I know some
we
dope,
gonna have him on the show.
I know some dope psychiatrists. I ain't letting them on here neither because they dope.
Have him on the show.
Like, right, listen, man.
I'm telling you, man. If I was a young rapper.
Once a month, Earl Gotti presents.
Okay, what are we going to do?
If I was a young rapper, I wouldn't like to do. Once a month, we're going to say Earl Gotti. I don't fuck with that nigga, Nori. He don't fuck with me. He ain't fucking with our generation.
And you know what I would be like?
And I don't like that.
You know what I'd be like? You right, little nigga? You right, little nigga. Listen, I go to their concerts. I stay in the back.
But not my show.
I stay in old nigga mode, bro. I go to the... Like, I went to OT You're Genesis
wrong.
Show.
You're
like,
wrong.
I didn't even tell him I was in the building.
Yo,
that's the type of nigga I am. I'm in. I'm going to
Nori, you're my brother.
Yes.
You're wrong.
No, I'm right.
You're wrong.
You're just doing so well in life.
No, I am the representation of hip-hop.
You got blind.
If I was broke or if I had $100 million, I'm saying the same thing. Because this is what I feel for the culture.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, this can't be a true...
But you know what you're doing? You're going to Jay-Z and saying, yo, this Ace, I'm not sure about this. He's doing pretty fine with the Ace.
First of all, I know.
He's doing pretty fine. This shit $500 in the store.
Listen, yeah.
How am I going to this nigga and tell this nigga change up the format?
No, listen.
Come on, I got you on that one.
No, you
I
don't.
Got him.
You're talking
I
about
got him.
This isn't the hip hop culture. No. It's brought to you by the hip hop culture, but that's not. This is fucking champagne.
Yeah, but it,
no.
The presentation.
We're talking about
this
fucking culture.
That's not sexy.
Yeah, it's sexy.
You don't want to change this, Irv. You want to change
this?
When Jay did
his shit with Meek and he said, you know, we don't shine shoes anymore, I loved it to the thing, right?
Let me tell you something. Hold on. When you go to the ocean, you know why this waves is going this way?
Where the fuck are we going with this right now?
It's perfectly high. You can't go to the ocean and say, I wish the ocean went the other way. You just can't do it, Irv. We gotta respect.
It's not a proper analogy.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Drink Champs, hosted by yours truly, DJ EFN and NORE. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials. That's at Drink Champs across all platforms, at The Real Noriega on IG, at Noriega on Twitter. Mine is at Who's Crazy on IG, at DJ EFN on Twitter. And most importantly, stay up to date with the latest releases, news, and merch by going to drinkchamps.com.